Rick Sporns has told me that management of the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area is about trail management. Tell me why that is and what that means for setting priorities for the work that is done in the conservation area.
Well, as most people know, the conservation area was turned over to Burnaby in 1999 from SFU and the provincial government. And after that time, or in the late 90s, a management plan was done with public consultation, and then we used this management plan as a guide to help us redevelop the trail system. It was kind of the Wild West when we took over Burnaby Mountain. You know, there were trails all over the place, trails going through environmentally sensitive areas, particularly through streams. So we sat down and came up with first a 5-year plan for trail management on the mountain, developed priorities based on input into the management plan and also based on the trails that were doing the most environmental damage. So those were kind of our guiding principles for the trail management in the beginning.
When you say input, was that input from the public?
Public input, yes.
Okay, yeah. So there were public hearings?
There were a number of public hearings. I don't know the frequency, the timing, but all the public information that was gathered was put into the management plan, mm-hmm. Or into the document.
Mm-hmm. And how carry on? How has the management plan evolved?
So we started our first trail project in 2001-2002. We started with work on the pipeline trail.
Where's the pipeline trail?
Pipeline trail is in the southeast corner of the park. Yep. And we started developing, enhancing the perimeter circulation of the park. So okay. We started with the pipeline trail in 2002.
What kind of shape was that trail in?
It was just a dirt path, and we created a more accessible gravel trail.
Okay.
Yeah. It basically followed the utility right-of-ways.
Is that why it's called the pipeline
trail? That's why it's called the pipeline trail.
I have a question about how the trails got their names, but we can carry it, yes.
Okay. And then... do you want me to guide you through the years that we started developing?
Yes, please. That would be great.
Okay.
Yes.
So, just a brief history of when these trails were developed. The power line trail is basically a hydro line, and it was a hydro service road, which we upgraded to with finer gravels so that people could walk on them easily and walk their dogs. People could ride their bicycles on the trails a little more easily. So we developed the power line trail over a two-year period in 2003 and 2004. And then I should back up a little bit. In the year 2000, we started construction of the Trans-Canada Trail, which stretches from Boundary Road to Port Moody, the Port Moody boundary. But the Burnaby Mountain section, we started that in the year 2000.
And what initiated that?
The Trans-Canada Trail group had initiated the Trans-Canada Trail, so they approached us and asked if we'd like to sit in on discussions to have the Trans-Canada Trail come through Burnaby. So I think everyone was quite excited. The planning department, they oversaw the initial planning of the trail alignment, and then Parks and Engineering, we were the implementers.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Now, there was a trail already there, is that right?
There was a trail there already, and it was upgraded to a more suitable standard.
Do you know who built that trail originally?
We don't. I'd have to do some more research.
Likely
part of the SFU's.
Okay.
SFU's management of the mountain.
I thought I read somewhere that the horseback riders had something to do with that trail as well.
But I'd have to check that out.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, so from the Trans-Canada Trail and Powerline Trail, we moved down to the Trans-Canada Trail, gave us access to the northern section of the mountain. And from there, we worked on a northern trail route that took us from basically from the Port Moody boundary all the way over to the Harry Jerome Sports Complex. So in 2003, we developed the Cougar Creek Trail.
That's down at the bottom.
In the northeast corner of the park.
Okay.
And then in 2005, we developed the Barnett Trail, which followed the BC Hydro Transmission Line, which was an old grass service road, which we upgraded to a gravel trail. So Hydro was very pleased with having this incredible access and turnaround routes that we created for them.
Would they have provided some funding then?
No, they didn't provide any funding.
Okay.
No. And then in just going off of Burnaby Mountain, continuing trail construction, we constructed the, in 2004, we developed the Doug Drummond route, which took us from Bayview Avenue, from Bayview Drive, all the way to behind Cask Brothers, where we have a park's parking lot.
Right, and that goes through the Barnett Marine Park.
And that eventually will take you to the Barnett Marine Park.
Eventually.
Yeah, it's long-term plan is to have an overpass over the railway to get us from the park's parking lot down into Barnett Marine Park. But presently, there's no access into the park from the end of Doug Drummond Walk.
Oh, for heaven's sakes! Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So people can walk to the end of that trail, and then that's it?
No, then they can walk across the road into the Harry Jerome Sports Complex and continue on our park trail.
Oh, okay.
Which will take them to a perimeter route around the northern section of the mountain.
Is this one of the important guides for the trail system is to try to get these loops happening?
It is, yeah. That's been part of our management strategy, is provide walking and riding loops for park users. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's something that they really like, the park users?
They really like that, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
People don't like walking back the same way. You know, if they can
Isn't
do a loop,
interesting?
Then they love to do like a loop trail. Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, and then trying to see where we were in 2006. I can't see where we were. But jumping to 2007, we started working on the Burnaby Mountain Bike Skills Facility, which was completed in 2008. But in 2007, we started two trail projects. One was called Hang Your Hat Trail, and the other was Gear Jammer Trail.
Are those new trails?
Hang Your Hat Trail is a new trail, and Gear Jammer Trail was also a new trail. It was there was an old trail that was called Gear Jammer, but we did a realignment of it. And I should back up a little bit. When we do new trail development, each project is taken through an environmental review process. So an environmental impact study is done by a private consultant, and then once the environmental review has been completed, then it's taken to Burnaby Planning's ERC, so that's an environmental review panel.
Okay.
And then they review the project and comment, make any comments necessary before we start construction or development.
Okay, and after it's constructed, then do those the environmental planning people monitor it as well then?
There's no need to monitor it after it's constructed, but during construction we also retain an environmental monitor.
Okay.
Only in the areas where if we have endangered species risk, or when we're doing stream crossings. So every stream crossing is approved by it goes after the environmental review process. The application is made to the fisheries department, and then so the fisheries has a record of any stream crossings that take place, and then environmental to monitor. At the end of a project, they provide us with a monitoring report that is available to fisheries on request.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So is that monitoring, does it have a schedule? Like, does it have to be done regularly? Or?
No, it's done whenever we do specific work. So we will call the environmental monitor in if we're crossing a stream during a portion of the trail construction.
And I suppose if there's a flood event or something like that, then and there would have to be repair, would you have to go through that review again or the monitoring process?
We usually do our trail construction timing within a fisheries window. So in the most the time when it's least sensitive to fish, that's when we do our projects, and we've never run across a washout during our construction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Have you actually crossed streams that you know have fish in them?
Yes, we have.
Which streams would those be?
One stream in particular is the pipeline trail. We constructed a bridge across it, but during the environmental impact study, our environmental monitor found cutthroat trout in the stream and crayfish. That gave us some excitement to look further upstream after the trail was constructed to see if we could do any additional environmental enhancements. And as a result of those findings, we designated an entire stream corridor block as protected area, and we removed the trails from that area.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Do you have anything? Do you know what the name of that stream is?
It is an unnamed tributary of Tributary 3 of Stony Creek.
Of Stony Creek. I was wondering if Stony Creek might be involved.
Yes. So we were really excited to find
that. Yes, at Stony,
to find that.
Stony Creek Environment Committee must have been pretty excited, too.
They were.
Yes. Yeah. So do they help parks in the way of monitoring water quality and that kind of thing? Do you have a connection with that group?
Parks has a connection with the Stony Creek Environment Committee, and city representatives sit on the Stony Creek Environment Committee, which is a stakeholders group.
Yes.
And some of the other stakeholders, such as Trans Mountain and I believe BC Hydro and Metro Vancouver, also sit on that committee. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it seems like a very successful approach to managing the environment using a watershed. Yes,
it is. And something else that came out of the study on the tributary of Stony Creek was that we found the water was very very cool. The temperature is very low, which is conducive to a healthy stream, a healthy aquatic life in the stream. So we were really excited to look at ways that we could enhance and protect that the quality of the water coming into the stream there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now that's below where the construction of the university is going on. Does that have an effect on stream quality?
I believe it does. I don't think I'm qualified to, mm-hmm. Judge that. But
Does the building up there though? Would it have an effect on trails below? I think I read where there was a flooding or a very heavy rain, mm-hmm. and water leaked or came from some holding ponds up at mm-hmm. University that did some trail damage.
2 years ago, there was a flood event that happened, and one of the ponds was mistakenly plugged in the university development, and that translated into a large surge of water onto the hillside below the university, University Drive, and onto our trail system. So we did receive a fair bit of damage on Deer Jammer Trail as a result of that. And because of that, some of the hydrology on that hillside has also changed. So we were noticing water coming out, percolating out of areas that traditionally did not have water coming out of them. So so that was very unfortunate. But it seems with the change in volume of rains, change in rain events, we're getting more water coming out of areas that we didn't have before. So this, you know, could be a result of climate change.
Oh, that it might be natural rather than the construction that's
likely a combination of both.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
tell me about a memorable event that created damage on your trails and that you had to do a cleanup.
A
something
memorable
very exciting.
Event.
I don't know, a windstorm or something.
Oh, I can. There's we recently had a windstorm last month, and it created a lot of downed trees on Burmy Mountain. So our crew spent almost 3 weeks clearing fallen trees from our trails.